I trust that you're not without Him this morning. I trust that you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. We have been studying through the book of Philippians on Sunday mornings, and we've now made it to this passage of Scripture that will close out, the Lord willing, our study on chapter number 2. We're going to make it halfway today, if the Lord be willing. We'll finish up chapter 2. I've enjoyed it personally going back through the book of Philippians. It's a book of joy, a book that tells us how to have joy in the Christian experience. After all, isn't that what everybody's after? And the world calls it happiness. But here in the book of Philippians, we are told how to have joy. It's the exact opposite from the world, isn't it? How the world, you know, they're just in a mad rush to be happy. Anything to be happy. That seems to be the way a lot of Christians today have approached life. But I think better of you, and I pray that God would help us to understand what it really is to have joy in our life. I'll tell you this, if we'll get more concerned about holiness than happiness, it'll go a long way in our lives. God's concerned about us being holy far more than He is concerned about us being happy. Actually, it's impossible to be really, really truthfully happy without being holy. There's this fleeting feeling that may come that people would call happiness that's based upon the premise of happenings that may happen in our lives without God, without Christ, as we've heard, when we do it our way. And there is a way that seemeth right, the Bible says, unto man, but the end thereof are not the way of happiness. It's the way of death. And we certainly know that that's not happiness. Paul said in this particular letter that he wrote to this church, and as you study the church history and these letters that Paul wrote to these Gentile churches that were plants of his on his missionary journeys, you will find that these letters were circulated first among the church in which he wrote it, and for instance this to Philippi, the church at Philippi, then they were sent to other churches, they were circulated through the churches, and then God chose to make them part of what we know as the canon of Scripture. They're part of the Scripture, the Holy Writ, the Word of God. And so we have them even today that we may learn from them, we may grow by them. We get our church doctrine from these what we call church epistles. Paul said in chapter 1 of the book of Philippians, essentially, he said, and this is the way we closed last week in verse number 21 of chapter 1, he said, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." That's a position. I pray that you hold that position. You say, "Well, now, preacher, I can't do it." No, no. It's either you will do it or you won't. It's not you can't. And so I'm challenging you. I challenged you last week. I'll challenge you again. I received the challenge. I want my life to count for Christ. I want my life to have a single purpose. And Paul said, "My single purpose in life, for to me to live, it's not are and then some things, it's is," which is a singular verb, "is Christ." For me to live is Christ. And then he said in verse 21, "and to die is gain." That's one place you can live. That's one way you can live life. Then the second way is in chapter 2, verse 21. And we closed last week with this question. Are you living in Philippians 1:21 or Philippians 2:21? 2:21 says this, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." For all seek their own. So the position for the believer in particular, that's who Paul's writing to. He's writing to the church. He's writing to the local assembly there at Philippi. And he's saying, "For to me to live is Christ." But he said, "Now, you know, there are those that do not take that position and they just live for themselves. They seek their own and not the things of Christ." Now I pray that you're in the former and not the latter. It's my prayer for you, and I trust it's your desire to be in 1:21 and not 2:21. We talked about this young man, Timothy, last week, and we challenged our young people, and I appreciate the young people of Fellowship Baptist Church. I appreciate our young folks. I really do. Good. Listen, some of the finest Christian people at Fellowship Baptist Church are some of our young people. They love the Lord. They want to do what's right. And listen, I know they're growing. They're learning. You know, we don't expect out of them, surely, what we expect out of our 40, 50, 60-year-olds. They're growing. They're learning, right? They're learning, and they're growing. And God has some expectations, and He has a will, He has a purpose for their life. But now they, listen, they're still learning some things, and they're looking to us to set a good example, and I pray that God would help us to do that. We're going to look at a man this morning in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. It's a different kind of guy. You know, Epaphroditus is not one that's just brought up usually in a lot of theological discussions. Now, Timothy, the young man we looked at last week, when he's thought of, he was more of a leader. He was a pastor there in Ephesus. Paul used him in many ways, and God used him in a great way as he pastored, as he done evangelistic work, as he ministered to the man of God, as he was Paul's right-hand man on occasion. Paul took him, and he called him in chapter 2, verse 22. He said, "He's my son in the faith." And Paul took him under his wing, and he mentored him. He took him on some of his missionary journeys. Timothy had a good background. Now, his dad, as far as we can tell in the Bible, I said as far as we can tell now, his dad was not a believer. But his mother and grandmother were believers, Eunice and Lois, believers. And they taught him as a child the way of faith. They taught him from the Scriptures, the Word of God, and how he could have a saving faith and know Christ personally. And then Paul came along and reaped that fruit, and he began to groom him, and he began to take him with him, and Timothy became a great leader among the people of God. But now here's a man that's a little different. See, I fear that sometimes we think, well, you know what? I have to aspire to be a Paul or a Titus or a Timothy, or I can't be anything for God. Well, here's a man that begs to differ with that. Here's a man that is just a layman. Now, I don't want to just say just a layman. Can I tell you, laymen are very important. Amen. They're very important to the ministry of a church. Here's a man that maybe didn't make it on the who's who's list, or maybe he wasn't listed in the directory with a title, like a pastor, assistant pastor, a deacon, or he was a layman. But my, how important he was. How important he was. And how important are laymen in the church? Can I tell you, very important? Amen. Very, very important in the church. Lay people. People that maybe don't have titles. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't, but nonetheless, they're willing to be used of God. I want to talk to you about this man, Epaphroditus. I learned some things about him in this section of Scripture that encourage me, and that I would like to have in my life, and perhaps as we look at them together, you know, I would like to have those qualities in my life. There's three things that I see in this section of Scripture that describe Epaphroditus. I want you to write them down, and then we'll look at each one of them. Okay, number one, this man was a balanced Christian. Can I ask you a question? Are you like me? Do you struggle with balance? Seems like that I get my Bible reading down and my prayer life slacking, or my witness, and then I'll get my witness in. I feel like, well, you know what? I'm witnessing to people. I'm passing out tracts. I'm trying to get people saved. And then, you know, this part of my life, maybe I'm not as good as a husband. And then I want to be a good pastor. There's so many things in life, right? And I'm not the only one that has these responsibilities. You have several responsibilities in your life. And God wants us to learn what it is to be a balanced Christian. Something you have to work at. It just doesn't happen. We have to work at it and ask God to help us and fill us with the Holy Spirit that we can prioritize things and that we can be all that God desires us to be. So he was a balanced Christian, and we'll look at that. Then he was a burdened Christian. He had a burden in his life. I don't understand this gum-chomping, smiling crowd. Now listen, if you're chomping gum, don't think I'm picking on you, amen. I'm talking about people that, you know, I can't chomp gum. My wife, she told me, no more gum on the platform. I mean, I'm a chomper. How many of you are chompers? I mean, I tear it up, amen. I mean, boy, it would distract you for me to chew gum on the platform. I can tell you that. It's not ethical. I understand that. But it wouldn't be good for you. I'll just leave it at that. And some of those of you who've seen me on the platform, you would say, amen for that. Sister Sherry made a good call there. But she said, Dale, you're hurting yourself. Amen. And that gum, too. Spit it out. So anyway, a burdened man. Right? He had a burden. You know, the Christian life is not all mountaintops. Listen to me now. It's not all, listen, now I'm not saying you can't have joy in the midst of sorrow, because you can. You can count it all joy even in the midst of trials. tribulations. God will give you a joy. The Bible says we're to rejoice right here in this book, chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. You can always be rejoicing in the Lord despite your circumstances in life, right? There's always something you can rejoice about in God. However, with that said, there's a time and a season for everything, you see, right? In everything, there's a time and there's a season for every purpose under heaven, Ecclesiastes 3 says. And so there's a time to rejoice, but you know, there's a time to weep. There's a time to be burdened. It goes kind of back to point number one, a balance. We're not always going to be rejoicing, but thank God we're not always going to be in sorrow either, right? Yeah, there's seasons in our experience of life. So he was a balanced man. He was a burdened man. Thank God he was a blessed man. He was a blessed man. He was a blessing to others. And if there's nothing else that I hope you get from the message this morning, I hope that you will leave here with this prayer. It's in the form of a song that we used to sing many years ago when Sharon and I first got saved. We used to sing a song, Make Me a Blessing. You know, I want to be a blessing to someone today. I really do. I want to be a blessing to someone every day. Now, I realize that I'm not. Sometimes I'm probably less than a blessing to others. But I want to be. And I want to get to the place in my life where I understand that's important. It's important that I'm a blessing to other people. It's important that I don't just live my life for myself. Have you noticed? That's really what Paul, he zeroes in the book of Philippians. And he's saying, you know what? Don't live life for you. Live life for Jesus. Live life for others. And then put yourself. And that really is joy. You say, well, you keep saying that. I mean it every time I say it. There's not going to be any joy. Listen, there's going to be no joy in our lives if Jesus is not first. If Jesus is not on the throne of my heart, there's going to be limited, if any, joy in my life. And then I have to consider others. Look at chapter 2, verse 4 of the book of Philippians. It said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. There's where it's at, brethren. There's where it's at. You've got to let your life, chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live as Christ. And if you're living like Jesus, you're going to live for others. Jesus did not live for himself. He lived for others. Amen? He lived for others. He went about and he ministered to other people. And if we're truly, if the mind of Christ is in us, if we're living for Christ, if for us to live is truly Jesus, we're going to be living for others. This man Epaphroditus, let's look at it. I want to give you a few truths about those three things, and then I hope that God will use them to help you as he's helped me. I'm still learning. All right, I'm still learning. Still growing. I don't ever quit growing. I don't ever quit learning how to be a better Christian, a better servant unto the Lord. Look at the first thing, balance. Notice what he said here. Verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Now here's the balance. Notice the balance in this man's life. He said, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier. That's a balance. Amen? Now, look at those three again. My brother. I think that speaks of fellowship, right? We'll come back to that in a moment. Got some fellowship with my brother. You know, when I first got saved, there were so many terms that the church used, not being brought up in church. I mean, it threw me for a loop. I remember the first time I heard men telling other men that they loved them. And I got to tell you, I wasn't used to that. I wasn't used to that. And I remember some guys telling me, I love you. I didn't know how to take that. I really didn't. You say, well, you know, you were just too much of this or that. Oh, I was probably too much of a lot of things. But God, he's been working on me. See, I love people now. And I understand that now. There was a time when I didn't understand that. I didn't understand brotherly love. I didn't. I didn't understand strangers, people that you were just acquaintances, not close, family, walking up to you and saying, hey, how you doing, brother? I just want you to know I love you and I appreciate you. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that. Perhaps there's someone here today that when you hear us call such and such brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, you say, well, what's that all about? What is this? It's like, are we in West Virginia? Everybody in here kin? Amen. Don't get offended at me if you're from West Virginia. Amen. Everybody in here family? You better believe we're family. We have the same Heavenly Father. We love one another. And if we don't, there's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with a Christian that doesn't love the brethren, lost people. Can I tell you, even your enemies? The Bible says that love ought to flow from the heart of a believer. Brothers. But he said, not only is he my brother, he said he's a companion in labor. And then he said he's a fellow soldier, he's a fighter. You know, I looked at this, and if you go back to chapter 1, remember what we talked about in verse number 5 of chapter 1? Look at verse number 5. Paul mentioned something. He mentioned your fellowship in the gospel. That's brotherly. See, I love fellowship. How about you? Preacher, I don't like fellowship too much. Then there's something broke in your spirit. I don't say that to condemn. I don't. I want to help you. There's something not right if you don't love the brethren. We know that we pass from death unto life if we love the brethren. I love being with the brethren. I love my Christian family. I love fellowship with you. I love it when we have church events and when we get together as church family. I love coming to the house of God. And I come here to worship, but I thank God for the fellowship that we have besides the worship of our God. We have fellowship one with another. I love fellowship. But I don't want to get too over into one side, and that's all I think about. Fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. See, I want to be balanced. See, that's not all that Paul said about Epaphroditus. He didn't say, he's my brother. We enjoy fellowship together. No, he had some other things going on in his life. He wasn't top heavy with this thing, fellowship. Don't you get top heavy in that thing either. Now, fellowship's great. It's wonderful, and we all need it, and we all benefit from it. But the Christian life's about more than fellowship. Amen. Fellowship's great. I read about a church who all they thought about was himself, and on the sign it had Jesus only. Big windstorm came through and blew off the first three letters. And as people rode by, they said, yep, that's them. Blew off the J-E-S, and all it had up there was us only. Yeah. See, that's the way some folks are. They just all they think about is just fellowship, fellowship, us, our, we. But you know what? There's people outside these walls that need what this church has to offer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's even people outside of this county. Can I tell you, this state, this country that needs what this church has to offer.
Right.
See, we've got a global vision. Amen. Yeah. We want to keep that. It can't just be about us. It can't be just about us four and no more. Fellowship's great, but we have to remain balanced. Now notice what else he said. Look at verse number 12 of chapter 1. When Paul spoke of the fellowship of the gospel, he said, you know, he might even had Epaphroditus in mind, my brother. Love fellowshipping with Epaphroditus. And as you study this man, you'll find they did spend a lot of time together. Look at verse number 12. He said, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance. Now what did Paul say about Epaphroditus? He said, he's my companion in labor, the furtherance of the gospel. See, we need to get the gospel out, right? It's a wonderful thing to come together as a church family. It's a wonderful thing to get together and have fellowship. But we don't want to get to where that's all we do. We want to reach out to the lost. Right?
Amen.
Neighbors, community, our town, our city, around the world. We want to reach people with the gospel. What? The furtherance of the gospel. We want to be companions in labor. Isn't that what Paul said about Epaphroditus? Look at it again in chapter 2, if you would. In chapter 2, verse number 25, he said, he's my companion in labor. He's helping me further the gospel. You say, well, he must have been an evangelist. I don't think so. He must have been one of them preachers. I don't think so. I think he was just a lay person in the church. Just a laborer. So he was a man who was concerned about fellowship. And I believe every Christian ought to be concerned. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You will suffer greatly if you don't get some good Christian fellowship. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's needful, brethren. It's needful. That's one of the reasons we try to have several events here, to where it will bring us together as a group, as a church family, for fellowship. Now, we come together for worship. We come together for teaching, for instruction. Should be. And as long as I'm the pastor, will be. But we also, listen, we need to further the gospel, right? There's certainly times we come in and we receive the fellowship, the worship, the teaching, the instruction, but we've got to go out. We've got to be companions in labor. It's more than just about laying back in fellowship, and that's a great thing, but we need to further the gospel too. Amen? Amen. Verse number 12 says, the furtherance of the gospel. What have you done in these two areas? Are you balanced? Right? So, well, I like fellowship all the time. Now you're getting unbalanced. You also got to listen, fellowship a lot of times is easy. Yeah. Furthering that gospel is not as easy. Right. Kind of goes against the flesh, doesn't it? Yeah. It does. But that's good for us. See, I was brought up old school. Old school. Not in a Christian home, but old school. Do things you don't like to do, it builds character. You say, well, did you do them voluntarily? No, but I had a person who made me do it. Okay? What I didn't do voluntarily, I had a stern grandmother who said, get her done. Amen? You say, you do it, preacher? You better believe I did it. There was no time. Listen, the only timeouts I knew about growing up was in football games. I can tell you that. I didn't get sent to a corner if I didn't do what I was told to do. Furthering the gospel. You furthering the gospel? It goes against the flesh. I understand that. But God is honored when we further the gospel. I'm glad Fellowship Baptist Church is a place that furthers the gospel, aren't you? Amen. Aren't you glad you belong to a church that has fellowship, but also furtherance? Now look at this third thing in chapter 1. Look at verse number 27. He talks about, in the latter part of that, he talks about the faith of the gospel. He talks about that we ought to contend, that we ought to stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. What's that? Well, if you'll turn to chapter 2, you'll find where Paul mentions that. He said he's a fellow soldier. There's just some things worth fighting for. Amen? But now, what's Paul saying here? He said, listen, Epaphroditus, he's balanced. He doesn't spend all of his time fighting people. See, some folks, they really don't know how to contend for the faith, because all they do, they get caught up in that wave to where that's all they do. They just want to fight something, fight somebody. Well, listen, there's a time to fight. The Bible says fight the good fight of faith. There's a time to fight, but there's a time to fellowship too. Amen. Amen. There's a time to further too. And so we've got to keep these things balanced. I like what Paul said about Epaphroditus. He said, here's a man with a balance to his life. He wasn't just known for somebody who was always fighting people. You know old so-and-so, don't you? He's fighting. I mean, they're known by that. He's fighting for this. He's fighting for that. Listen, there's a time to fight. And we ought to take a stand and fight for things. But don't become unbalanced, or listen, you won't be all that you should be for Christ. I won't be all I should be for Christ if my life is summarized by what I'm fighting. I need to be furthering some things too. I want to fight for the gospel, but I want to further it too. Say amen.
Amen.
And I want to fellowship with people in the gospel. I want to be balanced. How you doing, preacher? Well, probably about like you. I struggle with it from time to time. Man, I love fellowship so much that if I'm not careful, I'll be finding myself, every situation, every opportunity I get, I'm joining up with some fellowship here and there, right? I love the brethren. I love it. And I'll forget, the Christian life is more than just about fellowship. I need to be furthering, right? I need to be furthering. If I'm not careful, I'll get so caught up in furthering, that I'll forget, hey, I need the fellowship too. I need that fellowship. That's going to give me strength. It's going to help me to get to a place where I can further. You see what Paul's saying here? Epaphroditus was a balanced Christian. I want to be a balanced Christian. How about you? You balanced? Now, these are just three areas, but I think there's a lot in these three areas. I really do. Balance seems so easy, doesn't it? But it's something we have to kind of self-check with regularity. How are you doing in this matter of balance? You praying for your missionaries? Are you? I can't think of one missionary family that has, or person that has stood here on behalf of their family that hasn't said, you know what? Thank you for supporting us, or thank you for considering supporting us. But don't forget to pray for us. Say, well, preacher, I write my faith promise check every week or every month, whatever you pledge to God, whatever you said, I'm going to give this to Faith Promise Missions. And that's great. But don't forget to pray now, right? Don't forget to contact them from time to time. It's just balance. And I don't think that I would be indicting anyone or making an accusation here to say that we all struggle with that. We struggle with balance. Paul said, you know, this man Epaphroditus, he understood. Because he said in verse number 25, he said, Epaphroditus is my brother. He's my companion in labor. He's a fellow soldier. He understands balance. I pray that you do. Number two, not only was he a balanced man, look at verse 26. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness. If that doesn't say burdened, I don't know what does. Here's a man that was burdened. You know, when I find why this man was burdened, it's kind of shocking. I think it tells me when I find out why he was burdened, why he was balanced. Epaphroditus was not about himself. We're going to see something about this man that if you didn't read it carefully when you read through the book of Philippians that time you were reading through, perhaps even this week, you went right over it. I can't tell you how many times I went right through it. And it never really dawned on me what God was telling me here. Look at what the Bible says about this man. He was a balanced Christian, but he was burdened. Had a burden in his heart. Why are you burdened, Epaphroditus? Look what he says. Verse number 26, he longed after you all. Well, I believe that speaks a little bit about his burden. He cared about these people. You know, when you care about people, it's hard not to be burdened, isn't it? It's hard not to be. When you care about people and you see people making choices that are not advantageous to their Christian walk, or that you know is going to end in horror. When you see people going through difficult times, maybe not of their own choosing, maybe God is sending them through a storm, God is allowing trial in their life, and despite knowing that God is the author of this, it still brings burden to our heart to see those that we love go through difficult times, doesn't it, brethren? It does. Bible says here that Epaphroditus in verse 26, he longed after you all and was full of heaviness. Here it is now, because not that he was sick. Look at what the Bible says. See, for some time, I read right over this and thought, well, you know, Epaphroditus was a little down because he wasn't able to do what he wanted to do. Now, I've been where that is, okay? I've been wanting to do something and I've been physically hindered and I couldn't do it, and it kind of burdens you. You want to do more. You want to get out and do some things and do some things for God. You begin to feel a little burdened that I can't do more than I'm doing, or maybe as much as I once did. But that's not what the Bible says here. It said that he was burdened. He was in heaviness in verse number 26. He was full of heaviness. And I'll tell you what that means here in just a moment. Because that ye had heard that he had been sick. He longed for these people. He cared for these people so much, and they cared for him, that he didn't want them to really grieve for the fact that he was sick. It burdened him because they heard that he was sick. How selfless is that? You know, most people, when they get sick, they want everybody to know. How many women in here can say you got a husband like that? Say amen. And the rest of you need to are asleep. Amen. Well, Epaphroditus, he was the kind of guy that said, you know what? Hey, I don't want your trouble and being concerned about me. I'm going to be all right. How selfless is that? Think about that for a moment. Most people, when we get sick, we can't wait for somebody to ask us, right? Get a little problem with us, and if they don't notice it, we'll make it noticeable, right? I hurt my finger on vacation. I didn't hurt it. Somebody hurt it for me. And so I thought I'm going to do a lot of pointing today, you know. I just want y'all to know I'm suffering. I'm sick, but don't y'all worry about me. I'll be all right. Isn't that the way we are, a lot of us? Come on now.
Yeah.
How you doing? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Right? Right? How are you doing? Can't wait for somebody to ask us that so we can tell them. Unload. Listen, I'm not saying that we shouldn't tell people and get people praying for us. Don't misunderstand what this is saying. What this is saying is here's a man that was so burdened. He cares so much for people. He didn't want them really, he didn't want to be a trouble to people. He just wanted to be a blessing to them. And so the Bible says that he, in verse number 26, he was full of heaviness. You know what that word means? It's the same word, the root word that is used when it says that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was very low. He was under a heavy load. He was sore amazed is the words that's used. That's what Epaphroditus was. He was burdened. He was burdened for God's man. He was. Hey, can I ask you a question? You pray for God's man? I hope that you do. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for your pastors. Pray for the leaders. Well, Epaphroditus, notice what the Bible says here in verse number 25. He was burdened. Look at verse 25, the latter part of it. He's your messenger, but he's he that ministered to my wants. Hey, man, I like that. Well, Epaphroditus cared about his preaching. I thank God I pastor a church that cares about the preacher. I thank God for that. You say, preacher, that's been a little presumptuous, isn't it? I think it shows in a lot of ways that the church family here love their pastor. And I hope that it shows that their pastor loves them. I think that's the way it ought to be. Here was a man who was burdened because Paul was in a situation where he could not go. He was in prison. Epaphroditus ministered, if you'll look there, he ministered to his wants there in prison. One of the ways that he ministered to him, if you look in chapter number 4 and verse number 18, Paul said, but I have all and abound. I am full. Here's a man in prison, right? He's not complaining. He's not whining. He's saying, hey, God's been good to me. God's blessed me. Paul said, I've got a man named Epaphroditus and many others that are looking after my needs and praying for me. He said, this man Epaphroditus in chapter 4, verse 18, look at that. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He said, Epaphroditus brought me some things from you, and I want you to know I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I believe it's pleasing to God that you take care of the man of God. And Paul said right here, he said, because you have taken care of God's man and God's program, God will take care of you. Verse 19, a lot of times this verse is quoted right out of context, but in the context of it's written, he said, but my God, you met my need as the man of God, God's going to meet your need. Is that what he's saying, brethren? That's what the book teaches. That's what the book teaches. So he said, this man Epaphroditus, he was a balanced man. I want to be a balanced Christian. He was a burdened Christian. He was burdened. Let me ask you a question. Does it burden you when you see the condition of our world? Now I mean, listen, we could all give a great big resounding amen. Amen, preacher. But is it real? Does it really burden you? Have you shed one tear about the condition of our world recently? Have we? Think about that. You can't say you have a burden for the world if your heart hasn't been heavy, if there hasn't been tears for the condition. Our world is in a terrible mess. Isn't it, brethren? It's terrible. I mean, our world, our country, a mess. We just came through a circus in Washington. A circus! Our country is in a terrible mess. Got folks calling good evil and evil good. Got people who their heads in the sand. Our churches are in trouble. Are you burdened about our churches? There was a day when you could ride by a place and if it had Independent Baptist Church on it, you could say, hey, the Bible, the Word of God's preached there. Can I tell you that day is no more? There's a day when somebody mentioned the Bible, you knew they meant the Word of God. I'm trying to get in the habit of not using that word. I want to say the Word of God. Because the Bible's not the Word of God to many people today. I'm burned about this. It bothers me that our world and our country, our churches, our families, I'm burned about myself sometimes. You ever get burned about yourself? Just kind of take a spiritual look in the mirror and say, I'm weak. Burdened. Here's a man that was burdened about some things. He was burdened. Scripture says, not only was he burdened about the man of God, the people of God. Look, if you would, in verse number 30 of chapter number 2. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Here's a man that was burdened about the work of Christ. So much so, watch it here now. I want you to underline that in verse number 30, not regarding his life. I started entitled today's message, Laying It All on the Line. You know any people like that? I mean, they're all in, brethren. You think this man was all in? You better believe this man was all in. You all in? All in what? Look at verse number 30. The work of Christ. Well, I'm all in Fellowship Baptist Church. Well, I'm glad you are. But the work of Christ extends beyond Fellowship Baptist Church. Amen. Well, I'm all in for my Sunday school class. Thank God. But the work of Christ extends beyond your Sunday school class. Right? Are you all in? You burdened? Are you to the place where you can say, I'm not regarding my life. I died. For to me to live is Christ. I'm dead to myself. I'm dead to my ways. I want to live for Jesus. Are you there yet? Are you even headed in that direction? Hey, this is important. You say, preacher, I want joy. I'm telling you how to get it this morning. This man had it. He had it. Because he was balanced. And you've got to work on it now, okay? You've got to work on it. You say, this one message, you're not going to be able to leave here and say, well, I'm balanced now. No, you've got to work on it. But it's something you've got to work on. I'm not preaching this thinking, well, this will balance them out. That's not why I'm preaching this. I'm preaching this because the Spirit of God told me to. But I'm preaching this so that maybe you'll be prompted to think, I need to get concerned and be thinking about being balanced in my Christian life. And then burdened. There's just some things we ought to be burdened about. And it's not that we're going to get that new car. Are we going to be able to get this or that? But are we going to be able to really make an impact for Christ? Let me give you a couple things and then we'll close with a final point. Epaphroditus in verse number 27, the Bible says, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death. He had no regard for his life, verse 30 says, and he was nigh unto death. You think of any people like that? I want you to take your Bible and turn quickly. If you can't make it to Romans 16, just listen, all right? Would you, sometime this coming week, go to Romans 16 and read, I count 35 people here that the Apostle Paul had as friends and co-laborers. 35, just in the chapter 16 of the book of Romans. But there's one in particular. Notice in chapter 16, look if you would in verse number 3. Romans 16 verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Here's some people that were laying it all on the line. They were all in. They were burdened. It was more than just talk. They were putting it, and listen, they were putting it out there. Going to serve God. Turn to the book of Acts just for a moment. Acts chapter number 15. And if you can't turn there quick enough, just listen to Acts 15, verse 26. And when you get home, look it up. You know what separates the early church from our church? It's Acts 15, 26. It is. The church of today is a church of convenience. Got to have the temperature just right. Got to have padded seats. Got to close the service at a certain time. Everything's got to be done a certain way. Can I tell you the way the early church used to be? Look at Acts 15, verse 26. Here's what the Bible says. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is right there. That's the difference. Men who said, we're not in this for comfort. We're not in this for convenience. We want to make a difference for the kingdom of God and the cause of Christ. Even if it comes to not regarding our life. This may cost us our lives. It may cost us our estate, our family. But we're in it. We're all in. We turn back to Philippians now and we'll close. You turn to Philippians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians 16, there is the house of Stephanas. It's mentioned. You know what they were? They were addicted to the ministry of the saints. Boy, in this day of addiction where everybody's addicted to something, wouldn't it be great to see some people get addicted to Christ? Say amen, folks. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see some folks say, I just couldn't help it. I had to come up here and do a little something at the church. I had to straighten a chair or clean up something. I got here about 30 minutes or 45 minutes early. Why? I just can't wait for church to start. I'm addicted to this. I love this. I'm addicted to this. Right? Instead of folks, when there's a couple of raindrops calling saying, are we having church tonight? Text me and say, we are having church tonight, aren't we, preacher? Amen. See, we got to be careful. We'll lose what God wants us to be, and we'll lose our impact that God wants us to have in a community and around the world. Finally, we said he was a balanced man, and he was. He was a burdened man. He was burdened about things. But he was a blessed man. He was a blessing. I want you to notice one phrase, and there's much more, but for sake of time, I want to close here. Then I'll ask you a final question. Notice what Paul said about this man in verse 28. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully. Now watch this phrase. That when ye see him again, ye may rejoice. When people see me coming, do they rejoice? Or they say, oh no, here comes the preacher. I'm serious. What about when people see you coming? They try to get away. Be a blessing. Be aware. Don't have a mean spirit. You say, well, sometimes you're a mean preacher. Well, yeah, you're right. I could deny that, but it's not so. I am. It's not the way I want to be characterized, though. It's not. I truly want to be a blessing. And God knows my heart. And I believe I pastor people who want to be a blessing. This man was a blessing. He was balanced. And he was burdened. But he was a blessing. He was blessed. Paul said, I sent him because I know this man. And when you saw him coming, I knew that you would rejoice. It's Epaphroditus. Amen. Here's the man that was concerned that we knew he was sick instead of concerned that we didn't know he was sick. Right? Hey, can I give you just some pointers and I hope this will help you. Number one, if you're sick, don't make too much of that. Now listen, get some people praying for you, but don't let that consume your life to where every time somebody says hello to you, you begin to give them the rundown. I'm just trying to help you now. To where people will receive you as a blessing and they'll want to see you coming. Number two, don't dominate conversations. Talk for a little while, then let somebody else talk. Just trying to help you. You know, that's mean, preacher. I don't mean for it to be. I mean for it to be, and so I have to be reminded of these things, right? Care about people. Care about people. Listen when people talk. You want to be a blessing? You want to live in verse number 28, that when you see him, you may rejoice? Then when somebody's talking to you, listen to them. And don't just pick up half what they're saying. Yeah, I just wanted you to know that My cousin died last week. You hear about half of that, and you say, hey, man, that's good. I'll talk to you later. What? What? Are you a blessing? Epaphroditus was a blessing to Paul. He was a blessing to the man of God, but he was a blessing to the church. He was a blessing to the people of God. But he's a blessing to me. Is he a blessing to you? When I look at this man, some 2,000 years later, I think, thank God for somebody like that. Amen? Thank God for someone like that. He's a blessing to me. One day I'm going to see Epaphroditus in heaven. I am. Epaphroditus, I sure did like reading what I read about you in God's Word. It was a blessing to me. I wonder if somebody would walk up to me and say something like that. Preacher, Brother Dale, I just want you to know on earth, you was a blessing to me. I wonder if somebody would walk up to you in heaven, maybe even on earth, and just say, hey, I want you to know, you've been a blessing to me. You've been a blessing to me. I don't know that there could really be a greater compliment than that. You've blessed me. You've been a blessing to me. Have to work at it. Let's stand. Here's three things that we've got to work at. But they are attainable and they are achievable. Number one, as the pianist comes, a balanced man. He was balanced. Sometimes we get kind of heavy in this area and light in others, and we just need to stay aware and stay focused on being balanced, right? Be balanced. Sometimes I know it's hard to juggle, right? You got church and home and work and, my goodness, a lot going on. God help us to be balanced. Number two, burdened. We think because we have it good sometimes that everyone has it good. Can I tell you, there's some people right here today, they have their Gethsemane. You say, preacher, I'm on the mountaintop. That's great. But not everybody in here is on the mountaintop. Maybe the person sitting in front of you or across from you is in one of the deepest valleys of their life. And you just don't know it because, well, they're kind of like Epaphroditus. They're not going to advertise it. They're going to just, you know, going through that without making a big deal about it. And so don't assume that everybody's where you are. And God help me not to. Don't assume that because things are going good for you that things are going good for everyone. There's some people that are hurting right here in this church this morning. They're hurting. They're burdened. And then thirdly, blessed. Be a blessing to somebody. Look somebody up. Hone in on somebody and say, I want to be a blessing to that person. They look like they're a little down. I'll try to encourage them a little bit. Be a blessing.